Are you live?
Yep. All right, we are back. We're live on the Digital Creators Podcast. Today we are in the studio with Caleb 400. Welcome, Caleb.
What's good, man? Thank you for having me.
Caleb is a film director, originally from Karratha. He's been going hard this year, making some crazy videos, such as Magic Touch with Loza. Recently made music video called Nerve for one of Ghostmack's tracks. He's also been working with Wesley Black, and yeah, just been going insane this year. Been loving the videos that have been coming out.
Thank you.
And yeah, had to have him come on and just chat about what he's been doing. Also, he's been working with some big brands like Adidas. So yeah, wanted him to come on and talk about how he got into it and yeah, goals for the future and all that stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, so I grew up in Karratha and moved to Perth when I was 17. And basically, I've just been doing videos since I moved to Perth. I'm currently studying like media and communication at uni, but my major is screen production. And I only really started making like videos in like within like the last year and a bit. And then before that, it was sort of just like put my toes in the water type of thing, like just seeing what it was like, if it was something I wanted to really pursue. But like growing up in Karratha, it was like super good and freeing for what I do now. I think it taught me a lot about myself and it lets me do what I do now.
Yeah. So yeah, what was it like growing up in Karratha as like a creative? Were you just like running around making videos and stuff? I mean, like it's a country town, so you know,
25,000 people maybe.
Yeah,
I think now maybe. I'm probably wrong on that, but yeah, it's anywhere from the 25,000 to 30,000 people. But I think when I was growing up, it was a lot less than that. But obviously, like the mining boom and all that sort of stuff attracts so many people, and it's a very livable place, a good place to raise your kids type of place, because the money's good, everyone knows each other.
So it is like a mining town.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a mining town. Everyone there like makes good enough money, and obviously there's not much there creatively, but like there's enough there to well and truly have like a really nice life, because like you're in nature. Like like if you fly over Karratha in a plane, you can see the whole thing just when you're landing at the airport. But if that's anything, that speaks on like that there's nothing there creatively.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if there is at the moment, but when I was growing up, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
There was no sort of like, I don't think there was any like push towards like anything creative. I never sort of knew you could do anything creative till probably like towards the end of high school. Like when I sort of like, when the internet became such a big thing, YouTube was a huge thing. Instagram, Facebook, and then I sort of like tried it out and I was like, holy shit, I love this. This is good.
So did you get kind of like bored at Karratha at all? Or did you always like find things to do?
Nah, like it's hard, bro. It was so good to grow up. Like literally wake up in the morning, like around the time I was probably 15, 16, like, so everyone in Karratha, when you're 16, you get a moped because like the town's small, you can legally ride a 50cc moped, you have your freedom. So you wake up at 8:20 when school starts. Don't go to form class or homeroom, whatever you call it, none of that. And then you drive to school around first period, second period, maybe if you're lucky.
Yeah.
You go to school for however long. I did 8 times year 11 and then I dropped it because I was like, if I just want to have fun in high school and like live as a kid, you know, before I sort of like have to be an adult.
Yeah.
An adult.
Were you kind of like looking at all these people around you going into mining and be like, shit, is that where my life is going sort of thing? Well, like not that that's a bad thing, but.
No, it's not at all. It's like to each to their own. But like my parents have like an electrical company. Like, so I was sort of around like tradesmen or like that type of work, like my whole life. And obviously like, all my dad's and mum's friends are tradesmen or whatnot. And then, you know, you get into year 10 to 12 in high school and your friends start dropping out to become tradesmen and stuff like that.
It's like the typical.
Yeah, well, it's like the sort of the main career path there. And that is definitely something like the schools actually like really push you for, I found. And like the money's there. The money is there. Like I did a bit of like trade assistant work on like uni breaks and like
the money
is there. And it wasn't bad. That's the thing. Like too many people hate on all that shit. Like I can see why people love doing that. But like because I've got like this little weird bone in my body, like a creative, whatever you want to call it, that needs to be like scratched.
Yeah.
It just wasn't for me. But like I sometimes am envious of like the people who it is for, because like, you know, you get the nice boat,
yeah,
you get the nice car. Oh, your weekend, let's go out on the boat with all the like the lads, go out to the shack, have a few beers, you know, stuff like that. It is such a good life, but like that's not for me. So now I'm going to work like twice as many hours and probably get paid half the amount at the start. And then hopefully one day it ends up to being more than that. And I dodged it for a good reason.
Yeah, for sure. When you were kind of growing up in Karratha, small town, do people kind of look sort of like, do they think it was weird you're kind of creating all these videos, like stuff like that, because it's kind of different from what everyone else is doing?
Not necessarily, because I didn't really start doing videos in Karratha. I had these videos called Fuckheads Only I made in high school, and they were like the sort of start of like my somewhat like creative journey in videos, because I loved writing as a kid. But then when you get to high school, it's sort of like they get rid of like the whole creative writing.
Yeah.
And it honestly like is draining people's creativity, because like they're not using it anymore. So like they lose it. And then I had this little weird outlet, the videos.
Yeah.
I only made two of them, and it was just
two videos.
Yeah. It was literally two. Fuckheads Only One, and then Fuckheads Only Part Two. And
so what were in these videos?
It was exactly what the title is. Fuckheads Only. Like it was just me and all my mates doing the dumbest shit ever in high school. Like the typical stuff you see at the parties, you know, the motorbikes. Exactly. It was exactly what we do, but it was like
now.
Yeah, literally. But I just pulled out my phone. I was like, hey, I'm going to video this.
Was it like a long video or just like short clips? It was like dumb.
It was like a minute long. The longest clip was like 2.5 seconds, I reckon. And it was like to meme music. I don't know if you ever heard of Joey Trap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, it was to like Sesame Street. Joey Trap was like the first one, because I was like hell listening to like underground meme music at the time. And that blew up. That's like that first one's around like 30,000 views. So in Karratha, it wasn't like people were looking at me weirdly, because it was like sort of instantly cool.
Yeah.
With that first,
I guess, because it was kind of stupid and funny, yeah. Like everybody could enjoy it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't, I mean, it was creative, but like it wasn't creative. And because everyone was sort of involved in it, it wasn't just me. It was like, no one's going to take the piss out of that, because it's like a small town,
yeah,
and there's like probably like 30 different people in a video. It's like, if you're going to take the piss out of me, like you're taking the piss out of everyone in the video. And then obviously like the numbers as well. So like if anything has numbers, people fuck with it.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but that's how it works.
Yeah.
Like, that is how it works. So I never really had to go through like a real bad phase of like people looking at me like that. I think I had it pretty easy, yeah, to be fair. But
and like how many views would these Facebook videos get?
First one, 30,000. Probably a tiny bit above, like maybe 33. And then the second one was also 30,000. The second one was like somewhat of a bigger deal because of the success of the first one. And like people in like nearby towns like Broome and stuff like that were making like their own versions of these videos. Yeah.
They got like inspired by yours?
Yeah. I think one of them was called like BME Forever, which is like what you, I don't know, shorten Broome to.
Yeah.
Or what they do at least. And like that was cool. At the time I was like, fuck these motherfuckers, bro, copying my shit. But like now I look back, I'm like, damn, man, that's like really cool. But yeah, like it's like lots of views, bro. Like 30,000 in Karratha, that's more than the population.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh my God, what the hell, bro? This is sick. So by the time the second one came, it wasn't just like videos I took. Now everyone was like, I want this video in Fuckheads Only.
Yeah.
Like, here's a video of like me punching the fuck out of my friend at a party when he's drunk. We had like people jumping off like ramps into like the river on push bikes, and like,
yeah,
people putting like beers up there down there and
butt chugs.
Yep, butt chugs. Didn't know if that was appropriate, but butt chugs. We had too many butt chugs in the video, bro. It was like almost like a communal video.
Hey, it was
the
community.
End one. Yeah, everyone was sending them
community
in.
Community in a very like Karratha way.
Yeah, literally. And that one, like the school got like, I don't know, they got iffy with that one because there was a couple clips where like people were in school shirts and that, like going down like the main highway in Karratha doing like wheelies on a motorbike, like stuff they shouldn't be doing. And they were like tried to threaten a bunch of us that we wouldn't graduate and stuff like that. But obviously I graduated, I'm here now. But it was an experience and it got me to where I am today. So I'm like really grateful for it.
So and then the 400 boys, they lived in Karratha with you as well, like you grew up with them?
Yeah, so Deezy and Banjo are both from Karratha. Jet is not from Karratha. But I met them in high school. I didn't really start like socializing with them till like year 9-ish, maybe the end of year 8. I think it was because me and Banjo got into like an English class together. I think teacher's name was like Mr. Brito. It was like this Canadian guy's like, go Brito. And everyone would just take the piss out of him. But he was like a legend, such a good guy. And that's sort of how like I got my introduction to them, whereas they went to primary school together. So like they'd previously known each other for probably like 5 or 6 years, something around that time. And then, yeah, we're just sort of all together. Then Banjo left around like year 9 or going into year 10. And then it was just like me and Deezy for ages. Deezy obviously started doing the music shit, sort of started up what is 400 just in his bedroom, and then we moved it to his shed and now it's in Perth.
Yeah,
that's
damn.
How it goes, yeah.
And you were kind of like making little music videos back then for them or?
Nah, so I hadn't made my first music video till I moved to Perth. I think it was 2019 or 2020.
Yeah.
It was for Banjo's first song ever, and then it was my first music video. That's private on my YouTube channel right now. It's going to go up again
eventually. One day it will be released.
Oh, it is released. I just have to unlist it as private, but it will go up again. It was just like the reason I took it down is because like I started getting like a decent amount of eyes. I didn't want it to be in like the dice roll of like the first video someone watches.
Yep.
Just say someone big comes and watches and they're like, let me see what he's about.
Yeah.
Fuckheads only.
Really?
I uploaded it on my private Instagram account. And like for a private Instagram account, I did like weirdly well. And I was like, what the hell?
I reckon like Karratha would be a sick spot to do a like music video, like one day, go back and just get everybody motorbikes. Literally. And like, that'd be crazy.
I want to go back with like a really big artist or an artist that's like loved in
Karratha.
I don't know. It'd be so sick to take someone back there. Like, I don't know, like Lil Baby or like someone like that is loved in Karratha and just like, I don't know, just as like a thank you, like,
yeah,
you did all this for me. Like,
that'd be
this
sick.
Is somewhat for you. Like,
because if you think about all like those rap videos where people are on like motorbikes and like quad bikes, all that, it's really like an Aussie,
literally
Aussie version.
Well, because like it's red dirt and spin effects,
yeah,
and some big hills, and obviously like there's the ocean. But like if you're in Karratha, like the beach is brown. Like you don't want to go. You go to Dampier Beach, like something like that. But bro, it would be so cool. Like just to give back to the community. I don't know, do something with the school. As much as a kid, like I'd always sit there and be like, I'd hate to be that guy speaking to the assembly right now. Part of me is like, I want to be that guy speaking at the assembly and just, I don't know, especially in Karratha, and just like let kids know, like,
there's
paths, like, there's a lot you can do. Like, I had like really, really talented friends growing up that like don't create stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But some of them were like the most naturally talented creative people I've met in my life. Like they didn't have to like work very hard to like be good at something like drawing or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? Like, but because the opportunities aren't there or like no one shows you like, hey, you can like make a clothing brand and like make a living off it.
Yeah.
Then they're just like, oh no, like I'm going to go do this. Like,
yeah. Cause I think in Karratha, cause a lot of people in mining, like that's what you sort of see, it's probably harder to kind of break out of that. I mean, even in Perth, it's like it's hard to not be in mining. Like, even I think most of industries are just fueled by that. It is hard to make it as a creative, but you can do it. Like, and I think how I do it is I have like business stuff I do, like maybe corporate stuff, for like, I do like headshots for like accounting firms, like stuff like that. But then I have my creative work that I do as well. So there's like that way, or I don't know. Are you making like enough as a videographer like now in terms of like the music scene and stuff, or you need like a, are you working a second job?
Yeah, so I'm still at uni. I'm in my final semester now, so I still work casually in retail. So I work at Puma out like Watertown, just dox myself there.
Yeah,
people come in, harass me.
Oh, yeah.
So I work there like 25 hours a week.
Yeah,
just casually. I used to be part time, but it was just a bit stressful, like the extra responsibilities you take on, like being a like supervisor, part timer, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, I want to drop down to casual, and like it really let me grind on all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But no, like the budgets aren't here.
Yep.
Music wise.
Yeah.
Music video wise. Sure, the budgets are elsewhere here in like mining, like we've spoken about before. Like I could definitely, with the portfolio I've built up, I could probably hit up Rio Tinto and be like, hey, let me shoot at your site.
Yeah.
And probably walk away with more than I get paid from like three music videos.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like not about the money yet. I try to basically put all the money that the artists give me almost directly back into the video, at least at the moment, because it's like, it's an investment in myself. Like the videos are on my channel.
Yeah.
The videos are my brand. It's my image. All the videos, like, you know, obviously it comes back on the artist a lot as well, but like a lot of it comes back on me just because how, like, I don't know, I sort of force myself into like the spotlight. I'm like, fucking look at me, I made it. So yeah, I've honestly, for all my videos, I basically put all the money the artist gives me straight into the video. So like,
so is that in terms of like buying gear or paying for ads?
So basically building sets, costumes, props, extras, you know, anything you can think of that goes into a video. Because like I think what makes my videos different are like the ideas. I don't necessarily think I'm like a talented cinematographer or a great gaffer with lighting or anything like that. I think like what is good about me is like the weird thing that like ticks up here and like makes something different to like what you might expect. I don't know what people expect, but if that makes any sense, I think that is what makes my videos good. So that's where like the money needs to go, like the little worlds I create. So like the Margiela video, for example, like building that tattoo studio.
Yeah.
Like we bought a real tattoo gun. That's like $150 with that ugly ass dentist chair he was laying on, like off Facebook Marketplace. I think that was only $50 or something.
YouTube, like Mr. Beast and all that. He said, when he started, he just, anything he makes, he just reinvests it back into the next video. And I think that's like a super cool way to go about things.
It's basically, what I do now. Like, I know it's all going to pay off. Like, I know doing it now and almost working for free to a degree.
Yeah.
Will 2 weeks' time, someone's going to be like, not 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, who knows?
Yeah.
Be like, oh, here's 60 grand for a video.
Yeah.
Take 10 grand for yourself. Like,
yeah.
And I know that will happen.
Yeah.
So I know that doing like the work now will totally pay off in the future. It already is paying off. Like I'm so grateful for everything, but I already feel like it's paying off to some degree.
Yeah. And I guess you have those videos on your channel like forever. So someone's always going to keep coming back and watching it.
Exactly.
And I think that reinvestment strategy is like a good idea.
And the thing is like the budgets aren't small either. Like that's something like me saying I'm working for free. I don't want to take it away from like what the artists are providing. Like that's fucking 2K plus.
Yeah.
Like for most of them, like I'm putting out work that I genuinely want to put out. Like things I see and then they come to life and I'm fucking happy.
Yeah. Like I think the first video that I saw from you was the Magic Touch music video from Loza.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, damn. And I watched it and I was literally like, that's the hardest video I've seen
in
Perth.
Oh, thank you, bro. Thank you. That is still probably my favorite video to date. That like science lab we built, that was like in my laundry. And like that is another example of like the things that money goes to. Like all those test tubes on the, like we had to buy all those, bro. The microscope, had to buy it. Like, bro, yeah, I just love that video so much. It's just like that was like the first time me and Loza properly got to like, because we did a video before Madden with Stan Caviar, shout out to him as well. And that was like the first video that sort of like took off to a degree for me, like hit 10,000 views. And it was technically like my fourth video, like music video at least. And then me and Loz are linked up again for the Magic Touch video. It was meant to just be like a EP teaser, just a little short, like 30-second video. And then I was like, I think I got an idea. Do you have some money?
Yeah,
and then he
yeah.
was like, let me hear the idea. And I basically told him the idea.
And the styling, the color choice, like it's all so sick.
Thank you.
So what's kind of your whole process to that?
Basically, like when it comes to videos for me, I don't think I necessarily have a process. I think like if you want to call this a process, it's just like sitting down and listening to this, like to the song. And if something clicks, it clicks. If something doesn't click, it doesn't click. And that's something like I always like say to artists at the start as well, when they send me tracks, I'm like, hey, just letting you know, like if I don't want to do this, like it's nothing personal against your track at all, because if it doesn't creatively click with me, you're not going to get 100%. And sort of like we talked about before, to the point where like I'm putting all the money into the video, like I want the song to click if I'm putting all the money into the video, you know? So yeah, I just sat down, listened to it, boom, click. I was like, what the hell? He's a crazy scientist. And I found all like these reference images of like these crazy crackhead scientists, like clip art almost looking images. And I was like, let's do this. Let's do like the weird little candle circle. Let's get a motorbike. I just wanted to feel like dystopian and weird, like almost futuristic.
Yeah.
And that's like what that main beach scene was for as well. Like where they were on the beach and it sort of was like a fever dream.
Yeah,
that's all I do, bro. I sit there, play, write.
Yeah. And, are you on like Pinterest getting images or Instagram saving stuff or like,
not really. If I see something when I'm casually scrolling, like, so like before, like when you went to go grab the light, I'm sitting there like on TikTok scrolling and I see something, I'm like, ooh, screenshot. And then I just add it to like my camera roll or album. And like, I might go back for reference later and I'll be like, ooh, this matches this sort of idea. But like generally it's just listening to the song, sitting there just with only the song playing, like, and I just listen, you know, maybe close my eyes if I want to, maybe not. But like videos hit me all like ideas just all the time. Like when I was driving here, I drove past the Rainbow Sea containers, and I didn't necessarily have an idea about the Rainbow Sea containers, but I had an idea about like a shoot in the port with like the other sea containers and like matching outfits to like the mundane blues and the reds and the maroons. And I was like, what the fuck? Like that just came to me like randomly from seeing like some Rainbow Sea containers. So I don't really know how.
Yeah, the port, the Freo port goes hard, like in terms of a spot, like
literally it does.
I've
seen Marley Jose shoot there. I think maybe with Dylan Guy. Yeah. So fucking cool.
Yeah.
There's some coming in the back.
Like when you, I think, yeah, we were talking about how before about how like Perth's kind of a little bit underrated, like people don't hype it up too much. But if you have the creative ideas and you can like identify these spots, like you can make anything look sick.
Well and truly.
Yeah.
I think that is something that people sleep on with Perth. And I did it as well. So like I can see why everyone does it. I was like, oh, but there's fucking nothing you can do in Perth. And like I'm working on a video like at the moment, I can't say like too much about it, but I was like trying to find like an airplane hangar to shoot in, and I was just getting turned down by every hangar. And then I stumbled across the Aviation Museum in Bull Creek.
Oh yeah.
I never fucking knew it existed. They've got fighter jets in there, bro. So now I'm trying to shoot in there with them, like next to the fighter jets, in like a hangar type thing. And I'm just like, there's gems everywhere, bro. Like, my nana's house is in Bull Creek. My dad grew up in Bull Creek. Like, I've been there 2 minutes away from that place so many times in my life, and I did not know it existed. That's an example of Perth is, like, a great fucking place.
Yeah, 100%. And I think with each generation, I think it's that generation's sort of almost like, I don't know if responsibility is the right word, but if you reinterpret everything, like...
yeah.
Like the Aviation Museum, like I'm sure it used to be popping back in the day, but then like maybe it's not so much popping. But if you have like a new vision for that thing, you can bring like a new life to it.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's so many like random spots around Perth that like literally you wouldn't even think of, and like you can make it look sick. Like yeah, I drive past that Aviation Museum like all the time.
That's crazy. It looks so cool as well.
Yeah. Like they got some old planes in there. That's sick.
Big Tonkers, bro. Like some huge planes. There's so much in Perth, like I mean, I still have to build sets. That's the one thing I always do is build sets, because like sometimes there isn't a dingy tattoo studio that I know where it is.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But aside from that, there is so much in Perth.
And that one clip from Magic Touch where you had someone on a motorbike like whizzing through
the tunnel.
The tunnel, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was sick. Like that was one of the homies. Don't know if I should say his name. That's pretty fucking illegal. But and basically we just paid him to be a stunt double. Put him in Loz's costume. We did like probably 6 laps of the tunnel. Just back and forth, back and forth. I don't know. It was probably like 11 o'clock at night. We tried to keep it like somewhat
low key.
Yeah. He was crazy, bro. Like I honestly was like, this man could die. Like right here. Like, he'd pop it up. We're literally already going like 80 kilometers an hour, just trailing next to him. And then he's like, bad. And then he just takes off, and I reckon like at least like 140 maybe, but like he just keeps it on the back wheel and it is fucking scary because he could like easily just get speed wobbles and boom, done, under a car. See you later.
But that tunnel like is so sick. Like I've used it in some of my photo shoots and stuff. That's an example of like one spot where I think maybe, can't remember if I have seen, I've seen a lot of people use it. But it's just like once you capture it in like a certain way, it just like looks sick. But no, I would never have thought that aviation museum. What's like some other? I'm sure there's like, I think it's like even us as like photographers or videographers or content creators, like you can make a place look completely different.
Momentarily.
Like even some of these TikTok videos I see on like the Perth is okay page, they make like this waterfall spot look like so sick.
Crazy.
The more I live in Perth and the more I see like this content and things shot in a different way, the more I'm like, fuck, I want to go there. That's sick.
Literally, you just have to like see it differently. And that is the hard part about Perth being a small place as well. It's like, yes, there are lots of amazing spots, but like, so just say I go use the Aviation Museum for like this upcoming video and then like people start, I don't know, I'm not saying people are going to start using it, but just say people do.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, it loses its like punch. For the tunnel, for example, obviously it gets used a lot, so it does lose its punch. But when you do it in like a different way that people haven't seen it done, then it punches even harder because it's like a common thing that people see. So it's already like people know.
Like flying an FPV through the tunnel instead.
Literally, that would be fucking crazy. That would be so sick. But you'd probably need to like close off the road or something.
Yeah. I think also it's hard in Perth because I don't think like the city isn't used to people shooting like music videos or like, and I think, Perth could be a sick spot to even shoot like movies and that sort of thing. But because we don't get a lot of that, I think we do have like a lot of safety laws or like
it's
whatever
hard to
it
get
is like
the permits and shit.
Yeah. So you just gotta kind of run it like
even guerrilla mode. Yeah. Exactly what like, I think that's something that's been like I've found hard. Just a lot of places say no. Like, and like, I want to do the ride and tell them I'm going to shoot and be like, hey, like, can I do so-and-so? I'm happy to, you know, throw a bit of money your way, buy your carton of Pierce. Like,
yeah.
And then they're just like, no. Because they're like old heads that like aren't open to it.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the thing in Perth. Like, it is an older population. So they're just not.
Yeah.
They're like, we're good the way things are. Like, we don't want to change anything.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you find like people that are down to do it and it's like so refreshing and so cool.
Definitely.
But I think it is harder in Perth to have those sort of creative projects. Yeah, just because people aren't used to it. Where in the States people are like, everybody's making money on creative projects. They know that they know what's the go with like music videos and shooting stuff. Like everyone wants to get in on it.
Yeah.
There's that whole culture there. Yeah. But yeah, we're a little bit behind. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like I think if they're not, so there's like on the scale, just say, so it's like they're not down or they're like super down and there's like no in between in Perth. Like anyone who's been keen to like help me out on a video, like maybe they own their location or they own a business or something, they're like, oh my god, like what can I do to help? You walk in, they're like, oh my god, I'm sorry, it's a mess, and there's like one broom like leaning on a wall or something, like, and they're super keen to help. Most of the time the ones that want to help even do it for free.
Yeah.
And like I insist, like I'll, you know, buy them a carton, for example, or a bottle of wine. But then there's the other end of the spectrum.
I think a good way to go about like some of these projects is like finding these subculture communities. Like for me, I did stuff with the car community.
Yeah.
And like if you ever want to work with them, like you can just go to a meetup. Everyone's like so down. They want to show off their cars. They want to show off like I went on like a car cruise. Have you been on like one of these car cruises?
But I know you're talking about. Yeah.
And then like everyone's just so down for photo shoots. So I think there's also these cool niche subcultures that might be cool for like creative projects. Yeah, like even the wrestling video that you were shooting for Wesley Black that's coming out. They are a subculture there. Like WWE, how would you
pro
say?
Pro wrestlers.
Pro wrestlers.
Yep.
And they have like a little ring up in, where was it?
Malaga.
Up in Malaga. And yeah, I went in there. Everyone was like, you know, dabbing you up and
everyone's
chill. And
nicest people I met in my life.
Yeah, and like I had no idea that place even existed. Or there was like a wrestling community.
Literally. I had like a slight idea that there was like somewhat of like a pro wrestling community in Perth just through Wes. Like, because obviously I've previously worked with Wes twice on Dropkick and Sleepless Nights. So like we've gotten quite close and he loves wrestling. So like he'll tell me like, oh, I'm going to go see blah, 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 blah. So-and-so like fucking Cage Smashers 2.0 or some shit like that. And I'm like, what the hell are you on about, bro? Fuck off. This shit's bullshit. And then I went to that and it was like, what time did you pull up to that? Were they still fighting?
Later. No, they just wrapped up, unfortunately. So I didn't get to catch them. But.
So like we pulled up just as they were still like finishing the fight. And it sort of changed my whole outlook on pro wrestling. Like now it's something I really want to start watching. Like,
what was it that changed your perspective?
I think the community aspect and like how it's like a show. Like it was crazy. Bros were doing front flips, slam, bang. He's like down on the floor dead. His homie jumps up in the ring from the crowd, boom, drops him. Then his homie jumps up, boom, drops him. And then they're calling each other out for a 9-man tag team tomorrow night. And like, I don't know. There's just something about seeing people like passionate about what they do and like really love it when it's like not even like big.
Yeah.
That's like so inspiring. And then also meeting Taylor. Holy fuck. Nicest guy I've met in my life. Stayed there till what, 3 in the morning?
Yeah.
We finished.
Yeah.
He had been there for that whole show from before. However long that ended at 9, probably started around maybe like 6-ish. Stayed till 3 o'clock in the morning. Sat there, pressed the smoke button for me, clicked play on the songs. Then he'd get up and wrestle and teach Wes moves. You don't see people like that often.
Yeah.
Or like
100%.
Like, or little, like, subcultures like that. And I think it's a lot bigger than we even think. Like, because, you know, all we've seen is that Malaga place like that. But I have a feeling it is a lot bigger in Perth. Like, you look at Taylor's socials.
Yeah, I think like, so. And I would watch that. Like, I didn't know it existed. But I'm like, when's the next show? Like, I want to come and, like,
bro, he's
watch
doing,
it.
Like, a championship fight or something. Like,
yeah, he's actual pro. He's actually really good.
I reckon, we should all go.
100%. Because, like, that's the thing about Perth. Like, if you arrive here and you don't know what's going on, you kind of look around and be like, there's, like, nothing going on.
Yeah.
But if you know people and you're like, it's actually, like right now there's some community doing something, like, fucking sick like somewhere in Perth. You just gotta like know them and be connected. So I think Perth's all about people and connections and
literally
all that.
Well, like perfect example, what time is it? Like 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
We're in a shipping container in Fremantle doing a podcast. People are walking past. I drove past this like 2 times before I even found it. That's like a perfect example of these subcultures or just groups in Perth that are like doing beautiful and like amazing things that not many people know about, and they should. They should, bro. It would make Perth like a way more interesting place.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is Free Cast run by Nick. Just awesome guy, and he's like just somehow got this together within a year. And now, there's a lot of like other people do podcasting. There's like a little community around it, like radio community. Like some people do like live DJ sets.
Yeah.
Every Friday now he has like a little fire at the front, just like chairs, drinks. People can just like walk past, just come out and just hang out. And it's just, it's so sick.
It's fucking beautiful, man. But like, I totally get like the point of view as well of people saying like there's nothing in Perth or Perth is like small and stuff like that. Because when I first moved to Perth, I was that guy. Like I wasn't working, like I wasn't doing music videos. I was, when I wanted to work for money, I'd go back to Karratha on uni holidays and work as a trade assistant. And I'd just go to uni, come home, and like I had like a big like smoking phase then. Like I'd just come home and just like punch cones, punch cones, bro. Like, and like I didn't actually realize like at the time, like it was pretty like self-destructive. Like, I don't know. I was happy, but like I think deep down, like I wasn't happy, but I'm also very grateful that I had that time to sit there and do nothing and play all the video games I wanted to and stuff like that. But yeah, I hated on Perth. I was like, always wanted to go back to craft.
Yeah, I think that's where everyone starts. And like, it's so easy to just stay in that and like not break out. Yeah. It's like, if you're in, I think everyone sort of comes from that in a way, but
yeah.
Yeah, you've got to kind of like make it happen yourself when you can.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
No, I agree. I think some people just need to push. Like, it's hard to push yourself. Like, there's not many people that can like actually push.
I think it's that country town thing. Like, in a country town, it's not like you're living in like a bustling city where things are happening and it's kind of, you know, easy to have connections. There's always things going on.
Yeah.
Like, when nothing's going on, like, what else are you going to do? Like, you're just going to turn on like Netflix and like
have a beer
or something and like watch it. But yeah, it's easy to do that, but like it wasn't, it's not really as fulfilling, I guess, especially as a creative person.
No, not at all.
So you got to kind of make it happen yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
And you also released another music video recently, I think, maybe, was it, it's been around a week, Nerve?
I think it's almost 2 weeks now. Nerve, Ghost Mac and Wesley Black.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so that's even more videos with Wes now.
Yeah.
So, man, what a fucking video, bro. That was so fun to shoot. I love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of like humor in there as well. Talk us through the process for that one.
So it was just basically me and Banjo, which is Ghost, had planned for like a video for a song called like Pretty, long time ago. Like we had the video all planned out and stuff, and it just like never eventuated to anything. You know, partly my fault, but because I never sort of took action on it because I was always like being creatively filled by something else. But I'm like, obviously now we could both look back and be like, damn, you know, that happened for a reason.
Yeah.
And he sent me Nerve while I was still like writing Pretty. And I was like, hold on a second. Like, I think I fucking hear something here. Like the second I heard like that white boy from the birds, I didn't even need to hear anything else. Like I just was like,
had the ideas like flowing, like popping into your head.
The second I heard white boy from the birds, I was like, all right, we're doing like frat boys, but like the posh frat boys that got like daddy's money. I want, you know, matching polos. I want cargo shorts. I want polos tucked into cargo shorts. I want croquet. I want golf. I want jet skis. I wanted horses. I wanted a nice car. Like wanted a nice house, tennis. I wanted all that stuff. The second I heard white boy from the burbs, and I just called him, I was like, this is my idea, do you like it? And he was like, yeah man, what the fuck, like that's so cool. And which I'm very grateful for because my ideas are a bit fucking weird.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for the trust and like, because obviously people trust me with their money as well as their image because they're on the video.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, yeah, I just reached out to all the places, the jet ski companies, sussed a house, sussed a car, all that sort of stuff. Bought like the croquet sticks off some beautiful, lovely old lady off Marketplace. Went to her retirement village, picked them up. She's like, oh, what are they for? Oh, a music video. She's like, oh my God. She was so interested. It was cute as fuck. And then, yeah, we just shot it 2 full days of shooting and then probably like 2 full days.
And the house, was that an Airbnb or?
I was just family friends.
Family friends. Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we got it for a carton of beer and a bottle of wine. So grateful for them letting us like use that house. And like, something I was really worried about using that house is like, in the video, it looks like I'm taking the piss out of that house technically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm saying like, oh, anyone who lives here looks like this. Like,
that's
what the video looks like it's saying, but like it is not saying that at all.
Yeah.
Which I was quite worried about and like very conscious of.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I just like let them know like how grateful I was.
How do you think you would go about, like, I'm assuming you want to maybe connect with bigger international artists and stuff, yeah, and make music videos for them. Have you thought about how you might want to go about that?
Just fucking keep working as hard as I am. Hope that my videos get put in front of them. And then do exactly what I'm doing now. Exactly what I'm doing. Like, I don't know. I feel like as a director, sort of like editor, like not wanting to be labeled as like not a videographer, but like as every other videographer, or like, oh, this guy like shoots music videos, or like, oh, he does this, like, you know what I mean? I definitely had to like fight like really hard to sort of like just get like the level of like respect like an artist would get, like a rapper or something. And like just almost like force it, like I tell them like, no, the video's on my channel, and like, yeah, I'm still gonna do that whether you're a Perth artist or fucking Lil Baby. Like, I'm still gonna be like, the video is on my channel.
Yeah.
And then like, are we doing a collab post or am I posting
it? Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And like, that's just me like trying to like stand my ground and just, I don't know, stay true to myself, because that's what I want for myself, like to be like one of the like main people, I guess, like the main characters, if that's how you put it. But yeah, I'll do that exact, I'll go about the exact same way with bigger artists.
No, I think it's kind of a new way I've seen people doing things as a content creator, like, yeah, reinvesting in your next work.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, like Lyrical Lemonade does, he also has it on his channel.
Exactly.
And then his channel has now turned into something like pretty huge.
Yeah, I think that whole like Lyrical Lemonade thing, probably, I mean, I don't know where his inspirations came from music video wise, but in the grand scheme of things, in like the whole like directors having videos on their channels and having their brand, that was like pioneered by like obviously Cole, doing all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And like that is someone obviously I look up to.
Yeah.
I think you could probably just tell like maybe by like watching a video or something.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think there's been like this new way that creators have gone about making music videos. Like producers for music never used to be like the main character, but now, yeah, like they have their own little sound they put in
literally
to the songs.
For example, Metro Boomin.
Yeah.
He's having like his own albums.
Yeah, exactly.
And like people were following. And like I see why. Like obviously I'm in the same boat. I totally see why. Like, why did this sounds bad, but like why do you want to do all the hard work and then someone else get the spotlight? You know?
Yeah. It's just, well, like, creatives as long as I can remember, have always been like the behind the scenes, like, yeah, little guys behind the computer.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, whether you're like a producer, or like a videographer or photographer,
yeah,
I think maybe with social media, the person that's like the musician isn't getting,
yeah,
like all the credit for what, yeah, the work is.
I do think we have to work twice as hard as the musicians though to gain, yeah, the respect and the eyes.
Yeah, because it's not like our part isn't as glamorous.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
yeah,
we're not on the forefront like, yo,
yeah,
like,
well,
in
that's
the music
why
video
I
looking
put
cool.
Myself in all the music videos.
Yeah.
I basically like feature in all of my music videos. And like the first promo for most of my music videos, like the first sort of announcement post, will normally just be like a still image of the video. And it's like something from the video, like of me and the artist. Like obviously you shot the one for me and Wes.
Yeah.
People haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Then there's the one of me tattooing Loza. There's the one of me, Wes and Banjo out the front of the Lotus. Cheers in the champagne glasses.
Yeah.
But like that's like my way of like being like, hey, fucking look at me.
Yeah.
Bro. I made this shit, bro. Look,
yeah,
at me. Like obviously look at them as well always, but look at me as well.
Yeah. I think you've, yeah, been doing like the marketing differently. For these music videos, like you also put like a billboard, like it made a billboard for Magic Touch.
Yeah, we got the billboard.
So how did you go about that? Like how much was that? How much was that?
Paid for it. It was $4,200.
Damn.
And me and Loza went halves. And it was up for a week, and it was something I've always wanted to do,
yeah,
and tick off a billboard. if I didn't do it with him, I was going to do it by myself at some point when I could afford it. But like, I don't know, just like the relationship that like me and Loz have built, like I was like, I told him, I was like, I don't know if people are going to watch the video because of the billboard, like people driving past the billboard. But I was like, think of it as when we post the billboard,
yeah,
the followers are going to watch it and all the TikTok content we get. Yeah. And that's how I like marketed it to him. And like, I'm so happy like I shared that with him because like, fuck, that's like literally like my brother now. Like we're so close and we do like heaps together and we always work together. It's like I'm super grateful we got to like share. Like I guess like something we'll always look back on. That's like something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I think you're kind of like, I've never seen anyone go that far like to promote a music video or something like that. So you're almost like breaking boundaries, at least in Perth.
Yeah.
I guess like marketing.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, I mean, like, it was Magic Touch was like maybe my fifth or sixth video. It's like, who the fuck spends $2,000 on a billboard on that sixth video, bro? Like, I don't know, I'm dumb enough to do it, but I think we are dumb enough to do it, me and Loz are. But I think it paid off. Like, honestly, like, the amount of like just looks we got from it and people being like, oh, these guys are serious.
And it actually got a lot of views really quick. Like, what's it on now?
I don't know, probably around 14,000-ish, I reckon, yeah.
That's but, sick.
Yeah, some, like fucking good cosigns on it as well. And, like, the billboard was our most liked post at the time because, like, at the time I only had, like, 1,300 followers. He probably had 1,400. And we got, like, 560 likes. I'm like, oh, my fucking God, bro, look at this shit. This is why it was worth it. And then, like, now we've posted Margiela. It's got like 800 likes.
Yeah, Margiela was really cool as well. Like the way you shot it in the train. Like I love shooting trains for my photography and stuff. Yeah. It's just like another element that's like, it's so recognizable as a Perth thing, but you can make it look like
literally you just got to Perth, brother. Yeah,
get a different like interpretation.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, and then that's another kind of point how we have these things in Perth. Like you might not think it's like a cool place to shoot, but you can like make it look sick with like the styling and the music.
Walk on a train, shoot your friend.
Yeah.
Make him look like I guess he sort of look like a crackhead.
Yeah.
Make him dance and swing off the rails, color grade it nice, and there you go. That's a unique trans Perth shot.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was cool. It was like a favorite shot of the video. The yellows and red, like so nice together. Yeah. So nice.
And you use like After Effects to stuff? Like, is that hard to, I haven't even, played around with that.
Premiere Pro is like what I do, like all my base, like cutting in, but any like VFX and stuff like that, that's all After Effects. So like the shit where like I sort of like set stuff on fire or like lightning or those like, you know, those like zoom throughs that I sort of do where you're like zooming through like objects in the videos, stuff like that. That's like all After Effects. It is a learning curve, but anything's a learning curve. Like,
like even in the Magic Touch video, that fire bit was insane.
That was my first time really doing it, and I sat there. It's like 2 seconds worth of footage. It took me 5 hours.
Damn.
Like, but like you have to sell it. Like that's the thing. You really have to sell it because if you don't sell it, instantly people are like tacky, click off.
Yeah.
So you got to sell it.
Oh, that first the first like few seconds, it's everything. Like it said, like even now people's attention spans are just like messed up from like TikTok or whatever. Literally, even me, like I'm watching something like has to be snappy. So every video I make, I'm trying to like make it engaging from the beginning. So that definitely killed it with the engagement from the beginning, like so many transitions and like animations and everything.
Yeah, well we had Nathan Simic. I don't know if you've met him or talked to him before. He does like VFX and I think he's opening up his own studio in Perth as well. He did like the title cards for us. So like I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know how to do it. So like I just wrote up like a rough idea. I was like, I want it to be like green lightning flashing in the clouds, the name, the title. And then I want it to like zoom down through the clouds to like this motorbike chase shot I had. And he was like, let me go one step further. And then he goes down through the clouds and then through the news helicopter camera. Yeah. And you like see it go through the helicopter into the camera and then the motorbike. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I've never seen a music video that hard out of Perth from what I've seen.
Yeah, so he killed that and so many people fucking loved that part of the video, just like super snappy intro. And then we had like the news reporters we hired from Fiverr doing the like Magic Touch, Chosen One, yeah? Like that sort of stuff. So they were all from Fiverr.
Is that stuff like, how much is that for like a Ninja Porter?
I don't know. I think Loza or Goon paid for it because that wasn't meant to be for the video. That was for the EP teaser, like trailer. For the like the launch party, they wanted to have like news reporters talking and that. So Loza and Goon sorted all that stuff. And then obviously I had it because I was like working sort of on like, I guess like the creative direction of like somewhat of the EP. And I was like, I sort of had like a blank space to fill. And I was like, oh, fuck it. Like, this is going to look sick.
Yeah.
And I added it and it looked fucking cool.
So you guys definitely invest in as much as possible behind it. Yeah. Like Fiverr, so set design, like every, that's, yeah.
So much. Like that Magic Touch video, like, you know, Loza probably like, fuck, I was definitely like less established then. So like people weren't like trusting me with as much money. But Loza still probably gave me like $1,500, $2,000.
Yeah.
All into the video. Obviously had to get Nathan to do the titles. Obviously we paid the news people. I don't know if Goon or Loza paid them, but then they also did the EP launch party. So we paid to hire a venue. Sure. And then we made t-shirts as well for the launch party. We had a billboard, like some probably like close to like 8K on that whole sort of like project, like including the EP and the show and the billboard.
Have you had like a good response sort of like nationally over East and like internationally for it?
Yeah, I'm getting like a decent amount of traction in like the US at the moment, which like I'm aiming for. Like that was a goal of mine this year. It was like to really hit like a US market because like you've sort of like mentioned before, like in the US, like this is like a common thing. So when people see something creative and cool, like they fuck with it.
Yeah.
Whereas here, like sometimes people like to stand like behind the barriers until there's like enough people on that side. And then they're like, oh fuck, like I'm gonna jump over. So like, I was like, if I can really build up like a good fan base and just not even just fan base, but just like a group in the US that like watch my stuff, engage with it. And I engage with theirs, watch their stuff, listen to their stuff. And the numbers rise to a certain point. Everyone here jumps the barrier and now they're all in there.
Yeah.
And it just sort of eliminates that awkward friction of like the people who don't want to fuck with it because I'm not targeting them anymore.
Yeah.
I'm targeting like a total different audience that probably will fuck with it.
Yeah. It's so important to build that community. And I've noticed yourself and Ghost and I think Loza as well, like really good at getting people to sort of engage in the content, like replying to comments, like comment like this emoji or like just unique sort of captions that make people want to like respond. That's been really good.
Like I think that's been a really big focus, at least I know for like myself, and definitely Loza and Banjo, like 100%. Like at the start of the year, around the time like we did Magic Touch, like me and Loza were like, bro, like we need to go all out on like this social media stuff, because there's like so much to gain from it. Like especially TikTok, like back then it was a lot easier for like artists to grow, where it's not so much nowadays. Like I hassled Banjo and Deezy to get on TikTok, gave them ideas, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
They did them occasionally, but they didn't do it as much as I wanted them to.
Yeah.
And the problem is now it is a lot harder for them to grow because people don't want to follow artists anymore because it's so oversaturated unless you're doing something different. Whereas Loza, for example, who was posting TikToks through that early, not early, say TikTok era, but the start of artists promoting on TikTok. Now he's already reached, like breached the sort of awkward spot where people don't want to follow you below like 1,000, 2,000 followers.
Yeah.
People see 400 followers, like, fuck this guy, bro. He's fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. And like, yeah, I think I definitely benefited off that time. Like I was posting sometimes 3 times a day, definitely 1 time a day for like at least 4 months.
Yeah, I can't believe that TikTok era is gone. Like, I remember I used to post and get so many views. Now it's like pretty tough because like everyone's on it. Yeah. TikTok used to be cringe to be on TikTok.
Literally.
Like,
and now everyone's
on it. Yeah,
everyone promotes their music on it. Lip syncing videos in like front of the phone.
Yeah,
but like that used to get views. Doesn't get views now unless you've already built up like somewhat of a fan base that will instantly engage, and then it pushes to the other For You pages. But if you don't have that initial like fan base, you don't get the initial engagement.
Yeah, I don't even know, like I used to post on, say, TikTok to get views and then it follows over to other platforms. But now it seems like I'm not getting views, like, anywhere. So, which is, like, I mean, I was doing it to grow. But now I'm just, like, I guess I'm just posting here and there.
Yeah.
Like, have you noticed that, like, not getting as many engagement and all that stuff?
Yeah, I find it comes and goes in, like, phases. Like, I'm back down in, like, a low. But, like, the way I like to measure it is, as long as, like, so obviously you're always going to have, like, constant lows throughout, like, the journey. But as long as the lows are, like, higher lows than the last low, like, you're making progress, which is something I've sort of noticed. And it gets me through these shittier times where I'm not getting views on TikTok, because, like, before, my lower lows were, like, 100, 200 views on a video, but now my lower lows might be 500, 600. And it's like, okay, like, I see there's growth there.
Yeah.
And then you hit your random little high spots and it's like, holy fuck, every video is getting, like, 5K, 7K, 10K.
Yeah.
But it comes and goes, eh?
Yeah.
You never know.
And, recently as well, I saw you did a video for Adidas Italy, which is, like, really cool. I think a lot of Perth creatives, like, their dream is to kind of work with, like, an international brand like that. I've been seeing some studios, like, there was that Butter Goods collaboration with Puma.
Yeah, that was sick.
I think there was another creative studio. Can't remember the name now. They also did a project with Puma. Maybe they even worked on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's not a lot of big brands coming here.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool that you did the one with Adidas Italy. How did that come about?
Yeah, so that all came basically through, like, my homie Mario. I didn't know, I met Mario, like, maybe 2 months ago. But, like, yes, it was, like, probably, like, how me and you met. It was, like, on socials before we even met in person. Like, one of those type of interactions, just swipe up. Hey, fuck with you. Like, let's do something sometime.
Yeah.
And, like, because he works in that world, like, the brands and all that sort of stuff. Like, he's done some big stuff with, like, Hennessy and ASAP Ferg and, like, you know, so he's got the connections. Like, people know who he is, and if he sends someone an idea, they will look at it, you know, maybe accept it, maybe not, who knows. But he sent something to a marketing girl at, I don't know her name, sorry, but, like, he sent her, like, a proposal, because they did, like, a video for Adidas Italy in New York, just speaking with Italian people from New York, basically. And he was like, hey, the Women's World Cup's being held in Australia. Like, and we have a huge Italian population in Perth. So, like, why the fuck are we not doing one here?
Yeah.
And he's seen that one. He's like, we can do fucking better. And I don't know what studio he hit up, but he hit up, like, a group to do videography or something, and do the video and, like, direct the video. And he just didn't think it was feeling right. So that fell through. And then we actually met in person. And he, like, brought it up, and I was like, he sort of, like, showed me something. He was like, before he even asked, he was like, he showed me the Adidas New York thing. He was like, do you think you can do something like this? And I was like, bro, I can make something fucking 10 times better than that. What the fuck is that? No disrespect. It's actually a beautiful video and it's very commercial. It's just not, like, my style.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, you want to work for Adidas Italy and obviously work for him. He was like, yeah, like, you will, like, co-direct it together, shoot the video. He does the photos. And then it just all came from there. It was such a cool experience, bro. Like, the hard part about it is, like, it is very commercial. Like, it's something I said in the caption when I posted on my thing. I was like, this isn't what I normally do, but, like, still grateful that I got to do it type thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's how it works with these big brands. It's like, you have to show them you can do exactly what they want first. And then once they start to get more of your, like, taste and flavor, they're like, hey, do that fucking cool transition.
Yeah.
Hey, do this. But, like, if I went straight into that video of, like, Nonna's rolling up pasta and, like, edited how I edit a music video, they would have just been like, bro, get the
like fuck. Flames.
Literally.
Transition.
Literally, bro. Get the fuck out of here. But, yeah, man, it was super cool. Like, I think it's crazy that, like, last year in May I posted, like, my first, like, I'd say proper music video, like, with, like, a promo and, like, announce it and stuff. And then, like, within a year's time, like, I'm doing a shoot for Adidas. So, like,
crazy.
Yeah, super grateful for Mario, for trusting me with that. And everything because it was fucking amazing. Such a cool experience.
Yeah, I've had Mario on before. He's just like so well traveled.
Literally. And experienced.
And yeah, experienced. One of my favorite photographers here. He knows how to like really capture culture and that sort of thing. But I think it's to get that sort of work, I think you kind of do have to travel and be like connected that way because the brands aren't coming here first.
Oh, yeah, literally.
So even when I went to Japan and I shot Tokyo Fashion Week, which is like amazing experience for me, like now I have those connections. Like you just meet people.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like that unique creative because you're from like this different part of the world that they don't know of. But it's amazing how many connections you can get in that little bit of time. So I swear, like, if you went to like the US or like London or like New York or whatever, like your progress would just increase like tenfold.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try go like early next year. I want to go to the US just for like I don't know 2 to 3 months. Work with who I can. Do what I can do.
Just build connections. It's at the end of the day, it's all about connections. Like I've found that, especially in Perth, if you have the connections, then it's just so much easier to do things. Yeah. Like I think because we're kind of spread out around Perth, I think we do struggle with like collaboration here a lot because maybe there's like a big distance and it doesn't always line up. But I think through, you know, knowing other creative people, they know people. Like I think I've said this before on the podcast, like people know people here in Perth. Like you'll be surprised. Literally. People know like celebrities, people know brands. Like it's insane. So I think in Perth, just like I would advise like other creatives as well, just network as many people as you can.
Yeah,
like meet people, try to join like communities and then like travel as well. Like you can you can like, you know, one day work with these like big brands. So
that's so the thing. Like it sucks, but it is all about who you know.
Yeah.
Like it is all about that.
Yeah.
But we have social media nowadays. So it is a lot easier to like make that first base than I imagine it used to be. Obviously I wasn't creating in a day where there wasn't social media, but I'm sure it was harder before. But like just like perfect example, never meeting Mario before. And then we meet and he's like, hey, let's do Adidas. You know, never meeting you before, you know, follow each other, like some stuff. Hey, you're cool. And, you know, we've talked, this is like the second time, but like obviously the first time just me and you. And then, you know, we've worked together. You've come and worked on the Ready to Go set for the Wesley video.
Yeah.
Like that's all just, from social media.
Yeah, though. It's definitely easier to like pick up like people now.
Literally.
But I think it's still... Yeah, once you meet like face to face and it's like you can like collaborate like with anything, just pitch ideas to people.
Yeah.
But I also recommend like sending out DMs. That works.
I send a lot of DMs.
Yeah.
A lot of DMs.
See what you can get. Like, why not try it out?
Literally, I like, even like to say someone like relatively big follows me or something, I'll send them a DM and just be like, hey, like, just letting you know, like, if you ever want someone to like teach anything or. I'm all ears. I'm trying to learn and be like the best version of myself I can be. So let me know if you ever want to drop some sauce or you ever want to work or you ever need me for anything. Because if you just put like that initial like thing out there, otherwise it might just be like a follow and a follow back and an occasional couple of likes. But if you send that first sort of like message, it like lays the foundations of what it could be. It might not necessarily be anything, but like why would you not?
Yeah.
It could be something.
Yeah, like, I think it's always good to send that down to be like, hey, like, if you ever wanted to work, even if they don't respond, like, you never know, like, one day something might come up.
Yeah.
And, it's always good to have that, just send something positive out. You never know what's going to sort of happen.
Yeah, literally.
We also got some questions from social media we're going to get through. So these are submissions, what people want to know from Caleb. We've removed some, but
one I will answer.
So we got one from Lovex Kane.
Oh, half the names are all cut out on them.
Oh, okay.
Cropped them weird.
If you could shoot your dream video, budget irrelevant, what would it be like?
I don't know. I feel like that's a hard, like a very difficult question. I actually wouldn't have a fucking clue. I just think it'd be cool. It'd be crazy. It'd be like budget irrelevant. I guess it would just be like what I do now, but like times 500. And it'd be for like a song I really love and an artist I really love. But like, I haven't had like an idea for like what my best video ever would be. I don't think you know when you have that idea.
I think it depends. Like maybe for the Nerd video, if you had unlimited budget, what would you do different maybe?
Private jet.
Private jet? Yeah, there we go.
Private jet. Maybe hire out like a full country club instead of like some dingy ass golf course. Like heaps of extras in the polos.
Yacht.
Literally don't want one Lotus. I want like 7.
Yacht party.
Literally. Oh, yeah. Like, and fuck one jet ski. Probably all the boys are on the jet skis.
Yeah, everyone.
Jet ski crashes packed.
Yeah.
Everyone's falling off and shit.
Then we got another one from Kickflip Skateboard. Any good collaborations coming up?
Obviously, like the Wesley video coming out. I don't know if we can say, but like...
Is it dropping?
I don't know. It's like... Well, it's for his EP. His EP drops... I think he announced it today. It will drop around then.
Yeah.
Because it's for Ready to Go, which is the lead single.
Is the video finished?
No, we still got shooting to do.
Still got shooting?
Yeah. I'm just trying to sort that all now. But like, me and Wes always go down to the last minute. Like every single video we've done, we'll be doing it like 2 days before it's meant to come out.
Yeah.
But it always comes out beautiful.
What does Perth lack when it comes to creatives trying to make it?
Fuck. I think, honestly, I don't think Perth lacks it. I think sometimes the individuals lack it. Like what we were talking about before, like people are too uncomfortable to go out of like their comfort zone and do the networking and go into these communities and all that. Because I think it's all there. I think it just comes down to like, the individual not wanting to find it. Because I think you can do fucking anything anywhere. Like, obviously, you think everything lacks something that you might want, but...
Do you think it's harder here in any aspects compared to maybe, like,
I mean,
New York
obviously,
or
like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you don't get the looks you might as if you were doing... Like, just say I was doing these videos in Sydney or Melbourne, like, then maybe I would be getting bigger artists on the regular or bigger budgets. So for like, say that, but like, fuck man, like that's just the luck of the draw. Like we're here.
I mean, we're here. We have like, we have camera shops.
Yeah.
We have,
just work hard, market your shit properly and people will see you. Like, you know, I've got like, yeah, like we were talking about before, like the contacts in the States and stuff, but like, you know, also over East, like if I wanted to go over East and do a video tomorrow, I could.
Yeah.
Market yourself properly, work hard. It doesn't matter where you are. Could be doing it in Karasa. If I worked hard enough, I could go to New York or whatever.
Yeah. We live in the time of the internet, so
literally there's endless possibilities.
What does Perth offer creatives?
I think comfort.
It's chill here, guys.
Definitely.
It's chill.
That would be like the main thing, comfort.
Like we can drive to sets safely. There's no like toll roads or no, we're not going to like get robbed, our gear robbed, stuff and like that. Like think about in New York, if you have to shoot at night or somewhere else like South Africa, you have to shoot at night with all your gear. It's just like
scary.
Sketchy.
Yeah.
So.
But like even just on like a personal comfort as well. Like, you know, if you go out to an event and you pick a random event to go to in Perth, like a rap show, a photography thing, whatever, and you plan to go with no one, you just plan to rock up by yourself, you still have the comfort of, you know, you're at least going to know 5 people there. That's a very comfortable thing. And like, obviously we like comfort as like humans and shit. So that's a good thing. Comfort, you feel safe. It's a safe spot to start creating.
Yep. It's from Loza. If you could shoot a video for anyone, who would it be?
Probably Night Lavelle, I think. Night Lavelle, Suicide Boys, or Baby Keem.
What inspired you to start creating?
I don't think there's like a starting point like of inspiration for like many people to start creating. I think there's just like a need or like a desire. Like there's just something in you. I don't know what that's called or like how to explain it, but I don't know if you're the same and you had like some inspiration that made you want to create, or did you just, were you like me? Cause I just had like an itch. Yeah, I was just like, I want to do something.
Definitely creativity is like in me.
Yeah. But the thing, I think it's in everyone.
Inspired me to start. Yeah. It's just like probably because I couldn't work a regular 9 to 5 like all my life and not like let out my creativity into the world.
Yeah. I guess I would be the same thing. I felt like I had something to give out. And I didn't know how to give it out, and then I found a way to give it out. So I guess it's just that.
What's the first thing you do when you get a video opportunity?
Well, first I have to see if I like the song, or like, not like the song, sorry, that's a bad way to put it. If the song clicks with me, creatively, and then like we talked about, I'll just fucking sit there, listen and write, or look through my notes of like ideas that I just put down and have, but don't have a song, and see if anything like connects to the dots. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and I let them know. If it does, it does, and I let them know. That's all.
Worst part about directing MV?
Worst part about directing music videos? Fuck. I don't know. Oh, at least at this stage, maybe like all, like the amount of work that has to go into each video is like crazy time consuming.
Yeah, like, time consuming. Yeah, and you got like another job as well. So.
Yeah, and uni. So like, because I do like obviously 90% of it all myself. Like, you know, you're doing organizing the sets, building the sets if you need to, organizing with places to shoot there, locking in shoot days with everyone, organizing extras, styling, costumes, art direction, all that shit. But I'm sure when I get to a stage when I've got other people doing that, I'll miss these days.
Yep.
But so yeah, I am grateful I get to do it now, but I'm keen to not have to do it.
Sort of already covered this, but maybe just cover it quickly. Where did you grow up and how did it shape you?
Obviously Karatha. How did it shape me? I think what shaped me like super well and like different that other people might not get in like growing up elsewhere is like just the hard work that you see in Karatha. Like
the hustle.
Literally, bro, you know, like people are up there at the workshops like 5:30, 6 in the morning. Like for example, like my fucking dad, bro, like he would just work like 14 hours a day, 12 hours a day.
Doing like actual hard labor.
Literally. And mum will do the same, bro. And like I saw that my whole life growing up. So like there's like a part of me that like doesn't know anything else than that.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. But that's like the best takeaway you could probably get from growing up in Karatha is like it definitely teaches you that you need to work hard if you want to live a good life and have the things you want.
Second last question, plans or goals for the rest of the year?
Just keep going super, super hard. Drop as many videos as I can while keeping the same quality. Grow on all my socials and hopefully have a good established platform by the time I want to go to the US next year.
How do you handle creative block and have you ever had creative block during a project?
I think for me, it's just like, I don't know if I've done enough work to like truly have like a real creative block. But if, I mean, I guess I'd just step back from the project and I'd just, I don't know, take a break from it.
Do something else.
Yeah. You know, like literally anything that takes your mind off it. Fucking go play soccer, go play basketball, go ride your bike. And not even just for like a couple hours, like bro, take a couple days off it. If you need a week, you need a week. Like, there's no time frame on like.
Yeah, that's why we have our like. There's that thing where it's like you have your best ideas in the shower. It's like when you're not actually trying to
literally
focus on it.
You always have your best ideas when you're not thinking for them.
Yeah,
and that's just how the world works. But like, we'll never find out why it is like that. But that's how it is. So yeah, just disassociate from the project. I think.
Caleb, thanks so much for coming on. Thank you for having me. Just finding out more about you and like. Yeah, finding about all the projects you've been working on and like the creative process and all that. It was sick talking to you.
Thank you so much, man. I'm very grateful. Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you on social media?
So on Instagram, it's Caleb400. The A in Caleb is a 4. Same on YouTube, same on TikTok, same on every platform. That's where you find me.